The gospel reading this morning is from the fourth chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. We're going to back up with a couple of verses from the third chapter, which sets the scene for the fourth chapter. So we've had the infancy narrative in 1 and 2, and then 3 is basically John the Baptist is on stage, and he preaches and he baptizes, and then we move to the stories that begin with Jesus in the fourth chapter. So the third chapter includes this critical note about John, that in those days John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, down south, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said that the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And then it goes on about John's ministry. John is arrested for preaching the word. Now, we listen for what the Spirit is saying to the church in the fourth chapter. When Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been arrested for preaching the gospel, Jesus withdrew to Galilee. He left Judea in the south, and he went up north in the Galilee. He left then Nazareth, and he made his home in Capernaum by the sea. Nazareth is a little farming village, and Capernaum is a fishing port and a trading center. That's in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, about which Isaiah writes. So that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan. Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus now began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, the stories of John are critical in 3 of Matthew before we go to the 4th. And that John, when John was arrested, it would be breaking news, unquestionably. John was a national figure. John was noted as a very powerful, thunderous preacher. John had a large following of people. So when you read some of the stories, there are whichever gospel, there are throngs of people that follow John, kind of like the Pied Piper. Even when he goes out into the wilderness, into the River Jordan, there are throngs of people, and they are of all different stripes. So when John is arrested, it is big news. John is arrested ultimately because he dared to boldly preach the gospel. That's in a nutshell. Specifically, he was arrested by Herod because he dared to point out, well, rebuke, condemn, the fact that Herod took, underlying the word took, the wife of his half-brother. And that's another story to track out in another gospel another time. So John's arrested for daring to preach the gospel. Well, I guarantee you that if you preach the gospel of Jesus as Lord of all, you're going to get somebody's nose out of joint. I've got 51 years of personal experience to testify to that. Unquestionably, you preach that Jesus is Lord of all, your family life, your business, military, defense spending, religion, politics, economics, anything and everything. Lord, all means all. And I guarantee you preach that Jesus is Lord of all, somebody's nose is going to get bent out of joint. But the other side of the coin is that if all those are not included, if you're not preaching politics, if you're not preaching religion, then you're not preaching the gospel. So when people say, "Oh, it's too political, it's too much about national issues or something," then you know you're not hearing the gospel, because the gospel is either all or it's only what you really want to hear that's comfortable and satisfying. John preached Jesus as Lord of all. He preached the gospel. He was arrested. And ever since, people have been arrested. People have been beaten. People have been tortured. People have been murdered. People have been executed. Why? Because they dared to preach the gospel that Jesus is Lord of all. And you can go to find all sorts of cathedrals throughout Europe in particular, but all places throughout the world where there are frescoes, there are icons, there are statues of saints and martyrs throughout 2,000 years of history of people who dared to preach the gospel. And oddly enough, but we revere them today, but they were scorned during their particular lifetime. So John the Baptist is held up as a great saint for us nowadays. The text that we're looking at is the fourth chapter, and it says, well, when Jesus heard that John the Baptist was arrested for preaching the gospel, he fled, left, he withdrew from Judea down the south, and he goes up north. Well, okay, that's where the Galilee is, and of course, Nazareth, his hometown, that's where he is brought up and raised. But remember, we have stories where his hometown rejected him, right? So that's probably not a comfortable place to stay. But more importantly, it says that he withdrew and he went over to Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, this is going to be a little farther east, another, say, 30 miles. It's on the sea there of Galilee. It's a fishing port. It's a trading town. It's a center of commerce, of business. It is also Galilee of the Gentiles. So there's, well, you have to know the Hebrew scriptures, you know, way, way back in Isaiah, Jeremiah, about the Assyrians conquering that area of northern Palestine. At any rate, there are lots and lots of Gentiles there. Gentiles are beyond the pale, right? I mean, it's not an inclusive age, right? We're looking at understandings and concepts of 2,000 years ago. So Gentiles are outside the pale. They're not people you associate with. They live in darkness. But metaphorically, that area of Zebulun and Naphtali is looked, and Capernaum in particular, is looked upon as a place of darkness because it's a place where people don't practice religion, so to speak. People are not Sunday morning attenders. Well, they're not synagogue attenders, if you will. Declining attendance. It's a place of religious indifference and apathy. Sometimes there are verses that just scream across 2,000 years of history when it talks about cultures being indifferent to religion and apathy. Well, okay, so that comes across. So this is a land of darkness. This is a place of shadows. That's where Jesus goes. Well, that sounds like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the whole gospel. Where's the place where you're always going to find Jesus? Always where there are people suffering, or where there's pain, where there's hurt, where there's distress. That's where you're going to find Jesus, number one, in a place of darkness, of shadows. Okay, now, what's he going to do there? This is the grand inaugural speech. He is now going to begin his public ministry in the land of shadows, in darkness, in Zebulun, Naphtali, and Capernaum. And so we get his first speech. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near. That's it, short and sweet, but that may be all you need to hear. Now, repent. Well, there's the word that triggers a zillion different images and understandings here. Frederick Buechner, Presbyterian minister, right? Prolific writer, died about a year or so ago. So we've cited him. I've cited him a number of times. So he says, repentance is coming to your senses. Short and sweet. Maybe that's all you need to hear about repentance. So you're going to take a trip to, let's say, Philadelphia. And so you're going to probably take the Pennsylvania Turnpike. The Pennsylvania Turnpike is set up, right? We've all done this. When you go through the toll booths, you typically get a choice, right? The choice is, do you want to go to Philadelphia? Do you want to go to Harrisburg? Or do you want to go to the Ohio Line? And then you pick one or the other. But every once in a while, in the dark of the night, or loss of attention, or confusion, or daydreaming, you pick the wrong one and you start heading to the Ohio line. And you're merrily going along, and maybe you've got signs on your car, fill your bust, right? So people are hollering at you. Maybe you got passengers in the back seat. You gotta change. You're going the wrong way. You're going west. You gotta go east. Change. Repent. You gotta come to your senses. You're heading the wrong direction. You need to go this way, but you think you're going this way, and you think that's the way to go. Repent. Yeah, just come to your senses, folks. All of us. Now, we all need to repent and change directions for different things. So we like to put things like, yeah, okay, lying, stealing, murdering. Well, I don't do that. So I'm in pretty good shape, right? There's something or some things we do that serve ourselves first before we serve others. And when we serve ourselves first, we are heading in the wrong direction. We need to repent and change directions. Maybe, you know, maybe it's just simple things that we take for granted. Procrastination. Procrastination affects other people. They have gathered for the meeting. They have gathered to do something together. And you have now affected their lives and what they were doing. Change. Repent. You got to go the other direction. People are depending on you. Maybe you had a responsibility. You were to show up as a reader or a greeter. Okay, simple, easy to do, but okay, things interfered. You now affected other people's life. Yes, we all have something or some things we are doing that affect other people's lives because we took care of me first. Repent, change directions. So that's something that we can all deal with on a one-to-one basis, or you can process with friends, neighbors, families whom you trust, right? Who will not put you down because we know very well, we heard this morning, putting down people, picking on people, pointing out their little fallacies, not a cool thing to do, as well as ungodly. Okay, the message is repent. Same message as John, right? Why? Why do you have to repent? Because the kingdom of heaven is near. Well, all right. So Matthew's writing in many ways to a Jewish audience, so he's not going to say the kingdom of God. That's verboten. So he's got to put heaven. Luke's going to go for kingdom of God, okay? But we get lots of other names. So it might be Luke also invokes paradise. Oh, sometimes we see heaven show up. Eighth day of creation, which is what we're in the process of moving toward. It's all sorts of names for whatever it is afterwards. Now, you and I, being human beings, have this unique gift or blessing. We can contemplate, we can think about afterlife. So to the best of our knowledge, there's no other creature on the face of the earth that can think about life after death. Animals may fear death, they may fear a predator, but they don't contemplate about life after death. So when we do that, we are small-minded people, and we are limited and restricted to what we know, what we have experienced. And so therefore, what we know and what we experience, we are going to project and paste on this unknown future. Well, what are we going to paste on there? Things that we would think to be positives, and we get all sorts of, you know, ambiguous, undefined terms. Everybody's going to love everybody. It's going to be peace. It's going to be harmony. There's going to be joy. There's going to be safety. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, fine. That's great. But we paint them and we describe them according to the experiences and knowledge that we have here, and we put them over here, which isn't what it is, but we don't have anything else. So we get these images that, Well, when we all get to heaven, when we get to paradise, our whole family can all gather together around the Thanksgiving table every day. Yes, and I will be with my spouse and my children and my loved ones, and it'll be no more bickering, no more arguing, no more manipulating, and it'll be joy and peaceful and secure. That's just taking what we know here and putting it over here. That's not the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, or paradise. Well, I haven't been there either, so I don't know, except that there's nothing in Scripture to ever describe that that's what it is. We're talking about a new dimension of life in Christ, a brand new, unimaginable realm of life in Christ. But see, we can think about death. We can think about the hereafter. Well, no, we don't like to do that, okay? So we don't want to use that word death, so we're going to pass, okay? We're just going to give up the ghost. I think about death. It doesn't matter. At some point in the deep dark of your soul, every single one of us thinks about death. It's a human proclivity. It's a human trait. It's a human inclination at some point. What is going to happen to me? And since we're stuck with just these limited visions, we are scared to death. We are afraid. We are distressed. Blood pressure goes up. Breathing increases when we think about it, literally. It's a new dimension. It's a new realm. But then we start to pray desperately that it'll be there. Or maybe I can earn it. But see, they're all focused on this little limited, constricted view of what we know in our world today. Repent. Turn around. Find ways of serving others first. And you have probably just experienced a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. Paradise, the eighth day of creation. The more you do that, you will sense this is the realm. This is the life. This is the new dimension of Christ. It's not my spouse, it's not my family, it's not my friends I love and care for. It's people I don't even know. It's people I might even not care for. They might have different political views, God forbid. They might even be deemed enemies. But these are people I repent and I turn away from myself and I face others and I see the face of Christ. And there is the face of Christ in someone who is in the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or someone who's a Libertarian or a Green Party or someone who's an Argentinian or a Japanese or a German or a Russian, and I care for them. I reach out, I embrace, I love them. That's the kingdom of heaven is near. That is light shining on the darkness of an age of people who are indifferent to religion, apathetic about their spiritual life, people who are serving me, myself, and I. In the land of darkness, we have beheld a great light. In the land of shadows and death, a light, the light of the eternal Christ, has shone on us. In his name, we pray.